Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Greetings and salutations, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
You know, Bev, we were talking right before we started the recording, and how we ever got started doing these different podcasts. Why don't you just take a quick moment and let folks know how this all came about?
Sure. Well, I was talking to Denny Huff one evening, and he was telling me something about one of our MCB members. And I said, well, I didn't know that about him, that he played the organ. And I said, I wonder how many people don't know that. And we need to kind of talk to some of our members and let them all get to know each other, different hobbies and what they do, more than just business meetings. So that's how it all started.
And, you know, I don't think you or Denny ever dreamed how popular this podcast was going to be. It is so popular. People love it. They really do. And like you just said, you know, people, you know, respond like, well, I did not know that about him or her. They're just, you know, so I really like that. I think that is so neat, so special. And just thank you for coming up with the idea. And I think we got another great interview that we're going to be doing here today. And I'm excited
about
it.
Yeah. Me too, Chip. Alicia's so quiet. She's so sweet. Uh-huh. And I met her at summer camp and got to know her that way. And so I'm excited about this interview too.
Oh, you bet. So without wasting any more time, we're going to bring on our special guest for today. Welcome, Alicia Starner, to Meet the People of MCB.
Thank you for having me.
So, Alicia, we kind of started off before we started the recording, just kind of laid out a little bit of the ground rules, what we do, what we like to talk about. So we're going to start off today allowing you, if you don't mind, to share with us about your vision loss.
When I was born, I was diagnosed soon after birth with something called Leber's congenital amaurosis, which is very similar to retinitis pigmentosa. But I had a severe vision loss as a child. It gradually deteriorated, and today I have light perception, which we all know doesn't help me much.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's always a point of conversation a lot. There's some people that say they really appreciate having even light perception. Others say, well, they have light perception, but like you just stated, it really doesn't help you all that much. But so I just find that interesting. So you do have a little bit of vision because you can see light. Is that correct?
Yeah, I can see light as long as it's bright enough. If it's like a dim light, I might not see it. Things like fireworks on an evening, I can't see those. But it has to be a nice bright lit room. Sometimes it does help me find the door, because the door might be dimmed in a bright room.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense, yeah. So when did all this begin? When did you begin to experience vision loss?
Well, I was born with severely limited vision, but it really started losing drastically when I was in high school.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So you were able to attend public school then?
Yes. Well, I did do some school for the blind in Iowa, where I'm from, but not very much.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So you say that you when did you move to Missouri? You just mentioned about having time there in Iowa. When did you actually move to Missouri?
Well, I was born in Iowa City, Iowa, a long time ago. And then I moved to Missouri in, 2005?
Okay.
Be closer to my husband's father who lived here.
Okay. And that was the reason for your moving to Missouri, to be closer to your father-in-law.
Yeah, and it's a rural city. I came from a large metropolitan area, and I just kind of wanted something a little bit slower, less crime for my children, you know, just a better neighborhood to raise my kids.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to get into that in just here a quick second, and then I'm going to turn it over to Bev, because I know she's got a lot of great questions for you. So what was life like living there in Iowa City?
Well, very busy. It's a much larger community than I live in now in Sedalia. My father and my mother both worked in, as when I was a small child, they worked in factories. And then eventually my mom became a surgical nurse. And as I was in high school, I helped her learn how to be a nurse and helped her in college.
Oh, is your vision loss hereditary?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
My son is also visually impaired.
Okay, okay. So are both your parents still living?
No, unfortunately, they've passed.
Okay, and did you have any brothers or sisters?
I have an older sister and two younger brothers.
Okay, and do they live close by, or are they still in Iowa?
My sister lives in Davenport, Iowa. One of my brothers lives in Davenport, Iowa, and unfortunately, one of my brothers is deceased.
Okay. All right, so now talk to us a little bit about your immediate family. You mentioned your husband and your children, so how many kids do you have?
I have three children, two girls and a boy, and I have two grandchildren that I absolutely adore.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And they all live pretty close by?
Yes. Actually, my grandchildren live with me. My son lives with me. My oldest daughter lives with me. And my middle daughter, she lives only about three blocks away.
Okay. All right.
So very close.
Yeah. Yeah. And what kind of work? What kind of work does your husband do?
My husband is a driver at Tyson Foods.
Okay.
He helps in the shipping lot.
All right. That's interesting, because my oldest boy is a cost analyst for Tyson Foods down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So have a little So, okay. All right, Bev, I'm going to pass it over to you. I know you've got some questions.
Iowa City, when you mentioned that, my sister-in-law, well, is my ex-husband's sister. They were all born with congenital cataracts, and they went to Iowa City for eye treatment, and good place to be. That's a great area for eye research. Yes, what about the culture shock moving from that area to Sedalia? Sedalia's a neat town. I like Sedalia. You know, I haven't spent too much time there, but with the state fair, oh, that was fun.
It was.
Oh, my gosh. About that, too.
Oh, yeah. The culture shock is very different, because around here, people talk about cattle. They talk about horses. They talk about things of that nature. Well, where I'm from, cattle farms are not thought about.
No, but they get corn in Iowa.
Yes, we have good corn in Iowa.
Well, I tell you, Alicia, another tie we have, because my oldest boy that I just mentioned also spent some time living there in Sedalia, too. So you have a little bit of a tie there, too. So, yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, and I've been blessed to get to know some of your family there and coming to camp. Oh, gosh, I love camp when you can get to know people too. And this year, Josh came with his girlfriend, Jade. And boy, that was so neat to get to know them a little bit better too.
Oh, yeah. It's great, because they've actually grown up going to camp. They started when they were very little. I think my son was like 7 years old when he went to camp for the first time.
Wow.
And now he's 24.
Yeah. Wow.
24. Wow. Wow. It goes fast. And I do miss having you and Bob come. Oh my gosh, at time that did Bob dress up like, oh, what was that?
Oh, Swinetta.
Yes.
I think he gave you a lap dance, didn't he?
Yeah. I was like, what the heck was that?
Oh, yes. Another member was describing that, you know, to me in the back. I was just rolling. I was like, oh, my God. It was a good time.
Yes. So that, oh my, I'd love seeing your family grow up with Cobblestone coming to camp. And we've seen so many generations. You know, I first came when Edna Freeman got me started and her whole family came. And now we've got her grandson and his grandchildren coming too. So it is pretty neat that Missouri Council can take care of this for our people who want to come.
Yes, it's a wonderful, wonderful vacation.
Yeah, so coming to Sedalia, gosh, what'd you say? What year? 2005?
2005, yes.
Wow. So did you help out with the state fair when we did that last year, PR?
I did, actually. That was actually a lot of fun. I got to meet a lot of nice people.
Yes, me too. It was a lot of fun. In fact, I've never been to Missouri State Fair. I'm originally from Illinois. And even that, I think I only went to one state fair in Illinois, too. So go ahead, Chip.
Yeah, so Alicia, talk to us a little bit about your education. You mentioned just a tiny bit of it there about attending public and school for the blind. What did you do after high school?
Well, after I graduated from high school in a smaller town called Bettendorf, Iowa, I went to college, but I didn't do too well. When I first went to college, I wasn't ready. You know, I went and I wasn't ready. So I decided that my husband was going to go to work and I was going to raise the kids. So I was blessed to be a stay-at-home mom for many, many years. And then I decided, well, what am I going to be when I grow up? My kids are getting older. So I attended State Fair Community College here in Sedalia. And I earned my first associate's degree, which is in medical office administration. After searching for a job and not finding one in my field, I decided to go back to school to earn a bachelor's in social work. In my senior year, however, I had to change majors only because my transportation fell out and getting from Sedalia to Warrensburg was an issue. And I wanted to finish. So I have most of a social work degree, but I ended up getting a bachelor's degree in general education, which I am still very proud of because I am the first person in my family to get a bachelor's degree.
Yeah, congratulations.
So I was proud of that.
So what kind of work are you doing now?
Now I'm a data entry clerk at the COSES, which is a company that actually purchases products for the civil engineering unit of Whiteman Air Force Base.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. What kind of work did you do before that, or were you employed anywhere else?
This is my first position after graduating from college in 2018. Before 2018, my job was to raise my kids and, you know, get them where they needed to be.
Okay. Alicia, I want to go back to talk to us about how it was for you, someone with a visual impairment, living in Iowa, growing up there, what kind of challenges that maybe you had to deal with on a daily basis that you were faced with? Were people pretty well accepting of your visual impairment? And mainly, you know, people that you were closest to, maybe not those in your immediate family, but students that you went to school with, friends, how accepting were they regarding your visual impairment?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, the kids weren't very nice to me when I was in school. You know, I was the quiet, shy one in the corner because nobody wanted to play with me because they were afraid of the visual impairment. They didn't know how to talk to me. So they distanced themselves. And, you know, I grew up, I had some very, a couple of very good friends that are my friends still to this day. And I grew up understanding that I'd rather have two or three very, very good friends than friends who were afraid to talk to me or play with me or hang out. But they weren't very accepting because I was the only blind child in all the schools that I went to.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I understand that totally, Alicia, because I was in fifth grade, in between fifth and sixth grade, when I came down with a rare skin disease. And it was so rare that the parents of my friends, they didn't know if it's contagious or not. So when you go from a popular little girl with all kinds of friends and all of a sudden they're gone. They're just gone. And so I had to reestablish that relationship. And it was tough. What about even in school? If you did part of public school, I know I struggled with like PE, you know, oh gosh, trying to play softball. Ooh, just go ahead and throw me pitches to walk because I was scared of that ball coming at me.
Oh yes, me too. PE was, they didn't know how to handle a blind child in the PE classroom. So
yeah.
What did I get to do? I got to walk a track. That was my PE.
Really?
Walking around in circles. They wouldn't let me play games. They wouldn't let me participate with the other kids because they saw me as a liability risk.
Uh-huh.
What if she got hurt? Mm-hmm. What if the ball hit her?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, my son-in-law is a coach, a PE teacher in junior high, and boy, I've sat down and talked to him. If you have a student come in here who has trouble, there are things you can do to make it accessible for them. And I think it's really opened his eyes so he can relate and take care of those kids that he does. In fact, a couple years ago, he said, you know, Bev, I've got a blind girl that has come, you know, but they keep taking her out, you know, and putting her in a different class. And he's all ready to work with her.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
We need more coaches like him that wants to work with our blind children because they want to play ball, too.
Yeah,
sure.
You bet. Yeah. So tell us, Alicia, have you had any type of blindness skills training? I guess, of course, reading Braille, mobility, different things of that nature. Have you gone through any type of blind skills training?
Yeah, when I graduated from high school, I went to the Department for the Blind in Iowa. In Des Moines, they have a really comprehensive program. I stayed in their dorms for 9 months and learned everything that I needed to learn. I you know, from basic O&M to more advanced O&M to figuring out what coins were and communication skills, typing, Braille. I even got introduced to talking computers, and this was in the 90s, so it wasn't JAWS then. It was called Arkenstone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was very archaic.
Yep,
oh,
yep.
It was something else.
Yep, 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 yep. I remember that. I sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever get involved in any type of blind organizations while you were there in Iowa?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't know that they existed until I came to Missouri. And I don't even know who it was now, said, well, I'm a so-and-so, and I'm with a blind club here in Sedalia. And then I'm like, okay. And then that's how I learned about the ACB, the MCB, the NFB, all of those. I never even knew they existed.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to Bev here in just a quick second. But now that you've brought that up, kind of let us know how you kind of got introduced to the Missouri Council of the Blind in Blinda Center, Missouri. And I know mm-hmm. that you're the current president of Blinda Center, Missouri. You're also the committee chair for the health benefits program. Share with us a little bit about either one of those or both, how much you enjoy doing those kind of things.
You know, when I first was approached by one of our members, a very popular one, Linda Gerken, she called me one day and she's like, I think you would be a great president. And I'm like, me?
That sounds like Linda. That sounds like Linda.
Straight to the point.
Yes. And I'm like, let me pray on that. Let me think on that. So I did, and I'm like, you know, I really love the people in our group. I'm like, this would be a way to get out of my shell a little bit and learn that it's okay to make a mistake and say, hey, guys, I dropped the ball on this one. I apologize, you know? And, you know, just get to know some of our members. So I've loved it since I started about 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Well, I've tell grown you, a lot, I think.
Yeah, good. Well, you guys got a great group of folks there at Blinda Central Missouri. So that has got to be kind of special for you as presidents, because, you know, there are some affiliates that are not so fortunate. But Blinda Central Missouri, you guys got a lot of great people there.
Oh, we do. I love my affiliate.
And you guys are really active, though. That's the thing that impresses me, is how active your group mm-hmm. is.
Oh, yes. We've got a lot of people who do things on the state level. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bev, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
I know you probably don't have a lot of time, Alicia, with working and the family all there. And I bet you're the one that makes dinner and do all that. But do you ever get time to listen to the board meetings on the information line?
I wish I did, because that's one thing. I was a board representative for Blinda Central Missouri once before and learned a lot about the organization when I was on the board. And I miss those board meetings. I mean, there's times I miss it, and there's times that I'm like, well, maybe I don't.
Yeah.
We get it, don't we, Jim?
Yeah, that's right.
But yes, it is a great way to know the inner functions of MCB, you know, and I wish more people would be interested in what's going on the state level. And they probably wish I did a lot more on the ACB level, too, which I've gone to the conventions. Have you ever gone to an ACB convention?
I have never gone to an ACB convention. I would absolutely love to sometime go, but it just seems so overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, a whole week and expensive, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometime we might have to work that out, and we could buddy up together, Alicia. It is interesting. And I will ask you about your hobbies, because with your voice, you have got such a beautiful voice.
She does.
Are you a singer?
She does.
Yes.
I do sing, actually, but not in public. You know, it's one of those, I can sing at home and my kids will listen, and, you know, people around me will listen and say, oh, you're good. But I'll go out and I'm like, I'm not singing in front of nobody. So you can call me a shower singer.
Oh, no. I would love to hear you. And like I said, you've got such a pretty voice, just speaking voice even.
Well,
you would be
you.
A great narrator even to read to. I bet you read to your grandchildren.
I have, yes.
Have you gotten any of those Twin Vision books where the kids can see it and you can read it in Braille?
I have seen those. I don't actually own any, but I have seen those. Those are wonderful.
Aren't they? You know, I was reading, well, my grandson, when he was about 3 or 4 years old, and I was staying there, and my son-in-law said, do you want to go in and rock him and help put him to bed? I go, sure. And he said, well, he likes to read a book. I go, whew, this is going to be a challenge, you know, but I said, we can do this. So I think he was closer to two or three, probably closer to three. He was up on my lap and I had him pick out a book. He was big into trucks and cars and all that. So I figured it must be a book about trucks. And he wouldn't say, I said, what's this picture? He wouldn't say anything. Is this a fire truck? Look at that fire truck, Jack. He didn't say anything. And I turned a page. He took the book and turned it around the other way because I had it upside down. Uh-huh. And he got off my lap and went to his dad and he said, Nana can't read. She thinks this is a fire truck.
Oh, bless his heart.
Yes, but aren't those grandchildren great?
Oh, they are.
What hobbies do you have? If you have time for any hobbies.
I love to read. Reading, it's like my escape from the world. I love to read Christian-based. I even love the Amish novels. They're great. Amish-themed novels. I do like to listen to music, play with my grandchildren. We like to play board games and card games and outside, I've jumped on the trampoline with them, and it's so much fun. I'm 50 years old, but, you know, I'm never too old to jump on that trampoline.
No way. Yes, and get down on the floor and play with them. So bet you, do they call you Grandma or Grammy?
They call me Nana.
I'm Nana, too.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. Oh, Chip, she is such a joy to interview. I think everybody's going to love listening to this, and they'll ask for a repeat performance from Felicia.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Just wait till we get Bob on here.
He'll have to do a new Swinetta.
So, Alicia, as a wife, a mother, as a grandmother, what types of, do you use much technology to, you know, do all the different kind of things that you have to do?
Well, I do. I mean, I use, JAWS, of course, to use my computer and to play games with the kids. I use a PenFriend. A lot of their games, they're not very, but the Braille games are very expensive. So I take those little PenFriend labels because they are not so expensive, and I've made a lot of board games with those little PenFriend labels. Well, I'll use that guy to read the what's on the square, for example. And so I'm able to play games with them that way. I use an Orcam Read at work.
Yeah, good.
So work that's a wonderful device.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Oh, excellent. I use it daily. I love it.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great.
I was going to ask, for those who don't know what Orcam is, you want to give a brief description of that for our listeners?
Absolutely. The Orcam Read is a device. It's kind of shaped like I'd say a small candy bar, maybe. It's very small, handheld device, and it has four buttons on it. And you push the button that's called trigger button over the top of a document, and it'll read what's on the page.
Oh, wow.
It translates that text into verbal language so that I can read what's on that page.
Can't you also set it up where it does facial recognition?
Well, I think the Orcam Be My Eyes can do that, but The Orcam Read is the smaller, the cheaper device. If you want to call it cheap, it's $2,000.
Right, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But the Orcam My Eyes, that one is on, like, glasses, and the little device is on the side of the glasses, and it does facial recognition.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking about, yes.
Yeah, that one's wonderful, too.
Well, see, you taught me something. I didn't know there were different ways of doing it, if it's on glasses or this handheld one that you're talking about. So how do you use that at work then? Do you have, you did data entry, you said?
Yeah. So one of the things I use it for is the filing system. We have to actually take these, what they're called purchase orders, and we have to put them in order according to a numerical order. And the device reads the number, so I'm able to put those into the order that they need to be in, and then I staple them together. And then I take my pen friend fella, and all of the files have these numbers on them on my pen friend, and then I'm able to put those that paperwork into the right file in our filing system.
That's great. Chip, can I ask her another question?
Oh, yeah, go right ahead.
All right. When you were interviewing for jobs, did you find barriers of trying to convince people that you can do the work?
Oh, absolutely. I got this job last summer, so June of last year, 2022. Mm-hmm. I graduated college in 2018. It took me 5 years to land this job, and I've put in thousands of applications. And
oh,
I've done interviews even, and they're like,
oh,
on paper, you're great. You've been on the president's list and the dean's list in college, and you have professors that are your, you know, references. That's wonderful. We want to pull you on. And then I start talking about my blindness, and they're like, ooh. And you just feel the shift.
Oh.
You just feel the shift in the interview going downhill. Like, oh, well, you don't drive a car. I'm like, well, that could be kind of dangerous, but no. And they're like, well, we need somebody who can drive. And I'm like,
Alicia, I'm so sorry.
I've had those disappointments, but it's okay because that means that job wasn't meant for me.
So transportation for you. How do you get to work?
That's where I'm kind of fortunate. My son-in-law's father is a B-2 mechanic.
Oh,
and
wow.
And he works on the flight line at Whiteman with the B-2 aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So I ride in the morning with him to work, and he drops me off at the COSES building and goes across the street to where he works.
I love it. Teamwork. Teamwork.
Yes. And then my husband gets off at Tyson, and my job is 15 minutes down the highway from him.
Oh,
so
wow.
So he's able to pick me up, and he brings me home.
Oh, good, good, good. Then this job was meant to be for you.
Yes, especially considering it's a 30-minute drive from my home to this job.
Yeah,
and there wasn't, there's not public transportation, so I was just blessed to be able to have the transportation options open to me to be able to take this position.
Good, good. Sorry to jump in there, Chip, but I had the flow going.
No problem. Yeah, that's great.
So Go ahead, Chip.
So let me ask you, Alicia, we're kind of talking about a number of different services and programs that MCB provides. Is there anything that really stands out in your mind that you really enjoy? We talked a little bit about summer camp, and that generally is a favorite of just about everybody. But is there anything other than maybe like summer camp that you really thoroughly enjoy?
Well, we have already talked about summer camp, but the one program that's made a big difference in my life was the Adaptive Technology Grant Program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to. You know, several years ago, I wanted this device called the Trekker Pro. It was a GPS device, but when I looked at the price, I'm like, $2,000. Wow.
Ooh.
That was a big price tag. Not in my budget. So I decided I'm going to talk to the Lions Club, and I talked to, you know, I put in an application for the Adaptive Technology Grant Program, and I was approved. And I got half of it with the Missouri Assistive Technology Grant. And then I got $750 from my Lions Club, who was very gracious to help me. And little did I know, my son's school teacher put the word out, and they had a gene day. And they raised $250 of that fund.
Oh.
I ended up paying $89 out of pocket.
Wow.
Oh, what a testimonial.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Now, I did get to and I had to speak to the Lions Club, got to meet a lot of great people, got to speak at the regional Lions Club event just for this device. And it was wonderful mm-hmm. bringing their awareness of blindness mm-hmm. Technology. Mm-hmm. They loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alicia, just in the few minutes that we do have remaining, is there anything about Alicia Sterner that really nobody knows about, except maybe like those within your immediate family, maybe a few close friends? What is it about Alicia Sterner that makes you tick? What is there about you that really hardly nobody else knows?
I have an extreme love and devotion to Amish people. I love their religion and their simple way of life, and how they, on a daily basis, you know, live their life according to Jesus' way.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost wish I was born Amish. I have that mm-hmm. much of a respect for that religion and that group of people. Not very many people know that.
Yeah, okay. That's mm-hmm. interesting. My wife, Linda, she reads a lot of those books. She's got a tablet and all different kinds of stuff. She loves reading those, so she finds them really interesting. And we really watch very, very little TV at all. She spends a lot of time reading and looking stuff up on the internet and doing different things. But so that's interesting.
Yeah, I've probably read every Amish theme book that Bard has to offer.
All right. I'm going to turn it back over to Bev because I allow her to ask her last question. But my last question is, Alicia, can you share with us encouraging words for our listeners? Maybe someone who's been blind for a long time or someone who's just newly blind, the words of encouragement that you would like to offer.
Oh, absolutely. I would say, although it's scary to step out into a dark world or a world where your vision isn't always as clear and you don't understand the dangers in front of you, it's okay to fail. It's okay to trip over yourself. It's okay to not know how to work life as a blind person. There's always, you know, you'll come out of it. God never gives you more than you can handle. And he made you blind for a reason. Yeah. Don't be afraid to put one step in front of the other and reach your maximum potential or your dreams.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing those kind words with us. Does Bob ever do like my wife loves to change the furniture around in the house sometimes and not even tell me. And I tell you, I got bruises on my shins and other places, I tell you. And it can be a challenge at times. So
he doesn't move it around. He leaves that for me. He knows better.
And you know, Alicia, I live alone, and even if I move the furniture around, I forget. You know, you just get used to it, and you think, who moved that? Who did that? You know, who put that wall right there?
My son will say, Mom, that wall's been there longer than you have. I'm like, well, it needs to move.
We have to have a sense of humor, don't we?
That's it.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, Chip, I have absolutely loved this interview. I'm so glad you've asked me to do this with you because it is just a joy for the people and to share all this with others. So meet the people.
Yeah. Well, Alicia, thank you so much for being our guest here today on Meet the People of MCB.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview, we would be delighted to do so. You can just have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know, you might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy your 4th of July holiday, everybody. Stay safe and stay cool, and we'll catch you right back here next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.